The following is an exclusive sports presentation of Extra Sports 1300.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
Southern Colorado, it's time for your live and local sports talk show.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Here are your hosts, Ryan Kaufman and Chris Braden, with the godfather of Colorado Springs Sports Radio, Wheels.
Good Wednesday to you. Welcome to the show. Ryan and Wheels with you in studio, leading you right into ESPN's radio. ESPN Radio's, got to get the possessive S in the right place, ESPN Radio's coverage of Game 7 of the World Series. I have the stat lines of two quarterbacks. Quarterback number one has a 59% completion percentage, averages 5.8 yards per average. He has a minus one touchdown to interception ratio and a 72.2 quarterback rating. There is another quarterback who has a 61.5% completion percentage, averages 6.76 yards per attempt, is also has a minus one touchdown to interception ratio, but has a 76.6 QB rating. Wheels, which quarterback would you take?
Well,
quarterback one or quarterback two?
Obviously, I'd take quarterback two.
Of course you would.
Based on that stat line.
You know why? Because that's Trevor Siemian from this year. The quarterback number one is Brock Osweiler from last year.
Oh, last year, yeah.
Well, and that's, and your reaction makes my point for me. We talked about this yesterday. Change needed to happen. I wasn't putting that out there just to rope a dope and try to, you know, say that Trevor Siemian should still be the starter. A change needed to happen.
Yeah.
I prefer Paxton. I get the health reasons. Cool. We'll just roll with it. The point, though, is that if you are somebody that thinks this is anything other than a change for change's sake, I think that you are in for a very rude awakening, because that's all that this is. Because many people can harken back to 2015 and say it's the same people. It's, you know, he spent time with Mike McCoy and in his offense and all this stuff. You could tell me all this, and that I would rather say what happened the very last year that he was on the field. And he was worse, arguably, than Trevor Siemian has been to this point. Now, didn't Brock get pulled at some point? I think so. Or he went. So Brock didn't get a skate the entire season with that stat line, but the fact remains that Trevor Siemian arguably has had a better season than Brock had last year, and yet Brock is the one coming in to start. And I understand that there's familiarity, but don't try to tell me that the Broncos supporting cast is better than the Texans. DeAndre Hopkins, Lamar Miller, Will Fuller. I mean, these guys are at least equal. I mean, we can at least say that these are equal, and that's kind of my point, is that there's no real advantage to be gained here by starting Brock Osweiler. And really, as an aside, quarterback changes on the whole shouldn't inspire confidence. They are because your team is failing, and they're trying to just do something. And a lot of quarterback changes turn into quarterback changes for the future. Like in Houston, they went with Tom Savage. That didn't work. They went with Deshaun Watson. Now, no one could have predicted Deshaun Watson would be what he is, but at the time, it was a move for the future. Let's get the young kid as many reps as we can. We only have him on a rookie deal for 4 years with a fifth-year option. Let's start the clock on this guy and see what we have. So those are a lot of quarterback changes, and those actually inspire a little bit of hope because you're thinking about the future. These, it's a lateral move going from Trevor Siemian to Brock Osweiler. There is no ha- happy feelings, just perhaps relief that Trevor Siemian is not in there. And the rest of the other 31 teams in the NFL can't be wrong. There were 31 teams in the NFL that did not want this guy, including the Cleveland Browns, who have a ton of cap space, so they can just have somebody rot on their bench, and they're also starved for a quarterback, and Brock was not even the answer in terms of having him on the roster. So if you want to reminisce about 2015, which I've already gone into where everyone misremembers what happened in that Patriots game. The Patriots blew that game with clock management. C.J. Anderson ran for nearly 8 yards a carry, including the game-winning score. But yet we see a pass like Brock Osweiler had to Emmanuel Sanders late in that game, and that's what sticks out to us. And that's fine, but I'm just saying, go back, watch the game, look at the stat line. Brock was not deserving of ending up on a Sports Illustrated cover after that game. He just wasn't. He was responsible in a way, but he is no savior. He's just not going to be the savior. So, but do they need one? And we talked about this the other day, Wheels. You turn the ball over 5 times and you only lose by 10.
Yeah.
And Vance talked about that today. He said we turned the ball over 4 times and we were down by 7 or 14 or something going into the final quarter. He's like, how about let's get 2 turnovers and see where we're at? And that's the thing. That's the ultimate thing. Brock Osweiler's not going to make this team demonstrably better. He's not going to all of a sudden realize the potential that John Elway saw in him coming out of Arizona State. All this is can Brock not throw interceptions? As a Broncos fan, your confidence level in Brock at least being able to do that?
We bring up everything, literally everything about him.
Right.
But, okay, so we talk about 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about his familiarity with Mike McCoy.
Yes.
Two separate
eras.
Two separate things.
Fair enough. Yes, that is absolutely true.
2015 was Rick Dennison.
That is true.
And Gary Kubiak.
Mm-hmm.
So what if that Mike McCoy familiarity is actually a good thing, and it helps him.
Okay.
And it actually, I'm not saying he's going to lead this team to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Or he might not even lead this team to an AFC championship or an AFC West championship. But I think he could make this team better than it is now.
Okay.
And actually bring wins to this team that Trevor hasn't been able to.
And that is a astute observation that we never got a chance to see Brock in Mike McCoy's system.
Exactly.
Which they say Mike McCoy builds is, there's a lot of confusion on whose system is what and what's fitting into what. There was some of that today up at Dove Valley. Like you catered your, there was a question, I think it was from Kliss. You catered your offense towards Trevor and Paxton and not Brock. And Vance is like, whoa, wait a minute. We tailor our offense around our weapons so we can get our weapons the ball. Now, you could say that they haven't been doing a very good job of that, but that at least is the goal,
right?
Is to say we have 2 very good receivers, we have a decent running back, and we have a terrible offensive line, no tight ends. This is what we have to deal with. Because how can you make an offense that is tailored to Trevor and Paxton?
Right.
I think they're very different in what you do.
That's like trying to tailor an offense for Kyle Orton and Tim Tebow. Oh, wait, he did that.
Well, he hasn't been doing a very good job of the tailoring the offense right now. Maybe Brock will do better. If you're going to text us at 286-0046 and you're a Broncos fan and you're going to say, I believe Brock will turn over the football less. Okay, stats prove that he is just as turnover prone. But okay, all right, I'll live with that. And if you say what we were saying yesterday, that a change just needed to be happen for morale, if nothing else, then I'm cool with that. But if you're going to come out here and say that Brock Osweiler is suddenly going to turn this team into a playoff team, because right now they're not. They're not a playoff team. They have to improve in order to become one. This is not saving a playoff spot. This is trying to chase a playoff spot against a Bills team that you've already lost to, and they added Kelvin Benjamin, and there are, let me think who else, the Jaguars make a move, and the Texans now have a legit quarterback in Deshaun Watson. The Steelers are the Steelers. Maybe that's the division you can get over on is the North, plus you have to worry about the fact that you lost to L.A., and you still have to play the other teams in your division again. So the point is Brock has to get this team to chase a playoff spot, and I don't know that he's – in fact, I do know. He's not going to be able to get this team alone. He's not going to be able to get this team back in the playoffs. But if he doesn't throw any interceptions, then – he doesn't have to make this team that much better. And as Will said, that's how they improve, is they just don't turn the football over five times in a game.
The World Series.
Swing and a miss. He got it.
The home field advantage. It really has been a game changer.
It all comes down to this. Game 7. The Dodgers and Astros.
Coverage begins tonight at 5 on Extra Sports 1300.
Welcome back, Drive Time Sports, on your home for Air Force Hockey, Extra Sports 1300. It is Army Week, and what's better than football, playing Army on Saturday? How about playing Army twice this weekend, which is what Air Force Hockey gets to do this Friday and Saturday night. You can hear them both, of course, right here on Extra Sports 1300. Joining us now is one of the captains for the Falcons. He has a game-winning goal on his ledger and a +4 rating. Dylan Abood back on with us. Dylan, good to have you back on, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's always my pleasure. How is this week different with all the hoopla that is Army Week?
It's definitely a big week. Obviously, Army football, Army hockey, and also we have Corona Week going on here at the Academy, so all the big-name generals are in town kind of doing a conference. So definitely a lot of people are excited about this weekend just all across the board. So I'm really looking forward to it.
So you have to go more in-depth for us laymen about this Corona Week thing. So you got, like, the biggest of the big wigs in the Air Force descending upon. So how much FaceTime do you get with these guys?
Essentially, Corona Week, just kind of a big, it's an annual thing put on by the Air Force where, honestly, not sure what kind of topics come up, but across the board you have all the generals kind of in charge of the Air Force coming together for a conference to talk leadership, strategy, planning, whatever. So that's kind of taking place here at the Academy this week. So definitely seeing a lot of them around. As far as face-to-face time, not a whole lot, but I'm sure there'll be a few in attendance at the games this weekend. So definitely a lot of hype this week and going into the weekend.
Yeah, you say they're doing strategy. I know they're just talking about hockey and football. That's all they're doing.
could be right there.
Yeah. So 5-2-1. What as one of the captains, as you kind of assess where you guys are at, happy with where you are, leaving a little bit something to be desired? What do you think?
Yeah, definitely not complaining about the record too much. So that's a pretty good start to the season. Obviously, would like to be perfect, but you go for perfection, and if you fall a little bit short, that's all right. So record-wise, I think we're doing well. It's been amazing to see Bill Christopoulos in the net. He's been playing just out of his mind and been just absolutely solid for us, definitely our best player. For our team game, we have kind of our moments, ups and downs. We just really need to keep working on putting together consistent 60-minute performances right now. I think that's part of early season woes, and we'll keep working towards that. So I think we have some things to work on, definitely, things to improve on. But I think we're moving in the right direction and really excited about this weekend. So there's a lot of energy in the locker room, a lot of energy with the guys. Guys are super pumped up. So I think things are going well for us.
What's up with Canisius is playing 4-on-5 all the time? What is this nonsense that they with the cherry picking that they do?
yeah, Yeah, definitely. They're more of an offensive team, and they like to play offense, high risk kind of situations, and we definitely could have done a lot better job kind of countering that and taking advantage of that. But give them due credit; they found a way to make it work, and luckily we had Bill back there covering for us, and he saved us on multiple occasions when they got a little cherry picking breakaway. But yeah, like I said, just a kind of a super offensive team, took chances, and sometimes it paid off for them. But and I think we can do a lot better job taking advantage of that 4-on-5 and maybe the risk that they entitled capitalizing on that risk ourselves. So
how do they contrast and compare with Army? What kind of style of play do the Black Knights have?
Oh, it's going to be a completely different game this weekend. Against Army, it's a solid defensive team. I mean, both us and Army take a lot of pride in our penalty kill. Their penalty kill numbers are fantastic this year to start, right up there, a little bit above ours. And so we take a lot of pride in our hard work, our determination. So it's going to be a different weekend. It's going to be two determined teams out there battling for every puck, every shift, for both nights. So it's going to be a very different kind of game this weekend, but a lot of bodies flying around and a lot of passions on the ice. So we're really excited for that. It's always a fun head-to-head matchup with Army.
How do you feel about guys on that team?
I would say relationship on the ice is going to be a little bit different than off the ice. But it still comes down to a matter of respect. There's no question about that. Both sides truly respect what we're doing. Obviously, being at service academies, have a little bit different life ahead, and we will be participating and playing for the same team come graduation. Both of us know that. During the game, between the drop of the puck and the final buzzer, it's a little bit different. I wouldn't say it's over the top. There's obviously a little bit. I mean, you got that rivalry. It's almost like competing with a brother or a sibling. You absolutely hate to lose anything to them, any shift, any puck. And so that's kind of how we feel. Both sides feel with that rivalry. But come the end of the night, when it's all said and done, just a lot of respect from both sides, no question.
Dylan, really appreciate the time, man. Continued success, and hopefully a pair of wins this weekend coming for you guys.
Sounds great. Will do. You got it. Thanks for having me.
Dylan Abood, Air Force defenseman, Air Force captain, joining us here on Drive Time Sports. It is Army Week. We got Air Force Army both Friday and Saturday, presented by Interstate All Battery Center. Outrageously dependable. Our coverage Friday begins at 6:30. Saturday, due to the football game, a little bit later start, 7 o'clock, Jay and Tolls hit the airwaves on your home for Air Force hockey. Extra Sports, 1300.
More football play-by-play than any other station that we know of, college and pro. Your gridiron home is Extra Sports, 1300.
Drive Time Sports here on Extra Sports 1300. Ryan and Wheels with you in studio. The Colorado Avalanche look to continue their winning ways tomorrow night as they host the Carolina Hurricanes. But you know what? When the Canes are in town, it's a different story, because one of the players coming in will be somebody that we all know very well here in the state of Colorado, and especially in Colorado Springs. Former CC Tiger and Carolina Hurricanes defenseman Jacob Slavin is my guest. Jacob, how you been, man?
How's it going? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. So give us the synopsis. We're the Hurricanes at 500 right now. How are you guys feeling out of the gate?
It's been a little bit of a shaky start here. I think we've had some games where we've played really well and some games where puck hasn't bounced our way. But I think we're getting into a rhythm here, and we're starting to play some good hockey.
And how about you personally? Couple of goals and assists. How do you feel like you've started the season?
It's been pretty good. I think I would like my offensive numbers maybe be up a little bit more, but as long as I'm playing solid defense, I think I'm going to be happy with my game. But no, it's been it's been going well so far. I'm just excited to be back playing hockey again.
Yeah,
long off season for us.
Right, man. I'm sure that you enjoy parts of your off season. I know that you're probably a busy man now with more people in the house than just you. You're not a bachelor anymore. But when that season comes to an end a little bit sooner than you hope, I would imagine that at times you're probably tough to be around because you want to get back out there.
A little bit. I mean, obviously, hockey for myself, hockey is just a game, and so I definitely cherish the time that I have during the off season. But once you get into the later July, beginning of August month, season's just around the corner, you kind of get that itch again and tired of working out all the time and want to get to playing games again. And so once that time comes around, I wouldn't say it's I'm bad to be around, but just I definitely have that excitement for the season to get rolling again.
Well, and then you get to play hockey as opposed to apparently putting up Christmas decorations. Your wife is on Twitter and putting out that it's time to decorate with Christmas lights and stuff because now it's November. So you get out of that. You dodge a bullet there, don't you?
Maybe. No, I don't know if she would let me decorate the house. she's definitely got the more the eye for that as opposed to I do. So I think I'll just put the tree, the star on top of the tree because I got the height. So that's about all I get to help out with.
There you go. That's probably a good thing. So here you are, the start of three seasons in. What do you set specific goals for yourself in terms? Obviously, the Carolina Hurricanes, Jacob Slavin, everybody on that roster wants to win hockey games, and you want to win a Stanley Cup. You want to go to the playoffs, win a division, all that kind of stuff. But as where you are in your development in your career, do you set specific goals for yourself, either in terms of production or in terms of improvement in one area or another?
I don't know if I would necessarily say I set certain goals. Obviously, I want to continue to get better each and every year. The more I get comfortable in this league, the more I get comfortable on the offensive side of the puck and everything like that. But really for myself, it's just about going out there and playing my game and just giving God the glory with the abilities that he's given me. And so that's the main priority in my game is just doing it for the kingdom of God.
Very cool. Jacob Slavin joining us here on Drive Time Sports. Tomorrow night, you guys will be at Pepsi Center. How many tickets have you been allotted to divvy out for tomorrow night?
Last year, I would say there was definitely a lot more family and stuff that came just because last year was my very first year playing at the Pepsi Center. This year, I think it's going to be a little bit of a smaller group, but I would definitely say there's a lot of people that have reached out saying, hey, I'm going to be at the game, or hey, good luck Thursday night. I'll be at the Pepsi Center. And so personally, though, just my family, just immediate family and some cousins that will be coming and get to see them after the game. So that'll be nice.
Well, that's good that you get calls from people who have already purchased their tickets. I'm a little bit surprised. I would think that you'd be more hit up with, hey, Jacob, remember me? We took psychology together at CC. Was wondering if you could hook me up with some on-the-glass tickets for Thursday, no?
No, none of that. I definitely did not take psychology at CC.
Okay.
No, but no, not too much of that. No, a lot of people, maybe from youth hockey, though, they might reach out and just say, hey, do you have any available tickets or whatever? And so, but no, nothing too much this year. And so coming back home is it's always a treat, though. It was a blast last year, and I'm looking forward to it again tomorrow night.
Carolina Hurricanes defenseman Jacob Slavin joining us here on Drive Time Sports. So I understand that there is a younger Slavin who's lighting the hockey world on fire, Josiah. I've seen on your social media and on others that he's doing pretty good. I know that he is teammates with one of your teammates, which is kind of interesting as well, Teravainen. So how good is Josiah?
Josiah is very good. He's bigger than I am now, so that's always tough to swallow. But he's the only forward in the family, and so he's got the offensive ability and big kid, works hard, skates well, and has a good 200-foot game. And so it's been fun being able to follow him again this year with Lincoln now in the USHL. And yeah, no, me and Tara Vinan always talk about the little brothers doing well and Lincoln for their team. And so it's pretty funny and just a small hockey world that you got when you got two brothers in the NHL and in the USHL. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, Jacob Slavin joining us here. Is he going to CC?
I don't know for sure. He's uncommitted at the moment. I think CC is on his radar, though. I think he would. I think he's very interested in going to CC. So we'll see how that all works out. But I mean, I would love to see him in the Tiger sweater one day.
Can't be too pushy, though. I mean, when you're big brother, that you gotta. I went with it with my younger brothers too. You push too hard, and then it's like, nope, I'm out. Don't talk to me mm-hmm. about this.
No, I mean, yeah, like I said, obviously I'd love to see him go to CC, but I want him to be his own player, and I want him to make the choice that's best for him and his development at the time. And so, I mean, hopefully one day we can play on the same team in the NHL. That would be awesome, but we'll see how that all works out.
Yeah, that would be very cool, too. I don't know if you noticed that your alma mater's off to a pretty good start. Have you been keeping tabs on the Tigers?
I've been keeping tabs a little bit. It's a little weird now that the class that I
right.
went to CC with is no longer there, and so I was definitely closest to the guys in that class, obviously. But, no, I've been keeping tabs on them, and they're off to a great start. Big win over North Dakota the other weekend, and so that's huge for them, and I'm glad to see them having some success again.
Which NHL team do you go up against and you feel the same way that you felt when you played North Dakota or DU?
I mean, there are so many good teams right now with so many good players, but you obviously look at some of the rosters, and you got teams like Toronto or Pittsburgh, and you just look at all the stars that they have and the speed that they have, and you're playing the game to beat them, but you're also like, man, they're making some great plays out there.
Have you gotten to lower the boom? I know you're an offensive guy. I get that, but you're still a defenseman. So have you been able to kind of lay the wood on Sidney Crosby or anything yet?
I don't know if you would say lay the wood on Sidney Crosby. He's a very dynamic player, and there's definitely been a couple times where he's beat me, and a couple times where I've been able to stop him. And so, no, he's a very unique, special player, dynamic, and so it's I would say it's hard to lay the wood on Sidney Crosby.
Well, Jacob, thanks so much for the time today, man. We really want you to do very well. Maybe not on the scoreboard, but you yourself, you can have a very nice game, but we do still kind of root for the Avs. But it's going to be exciting to have you back in the state of Colorado. We're keeping tabs on you here in Colorado Springs, and wish nothing but the best for you, man. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to tomorrow night, and hopefully the Tigers can keep rolling. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure, Jacob. Thanks. Safe travels.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Yep. There's Jacob Slavin, Carolina Hurricanes defenseman, former CC Tiger, joining us here on Drive Time Sports. All right, that's going to do it for the show. Stay tuned. Game 7 next. You still kind of root for the Avs, but it's going to be exciting to have you back in the state of Colorado. We're keeping tabs on you here in Colorado Springs, and wish nothing but the best for you, man. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to tomorrow night, and hopefully the Tigers can keep rolling. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure, Jacob. Thanks. Safe travels.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Yep. There's Jacob Slavin, Carolina Hurricanes defenseman, former CC Tiger, joining us here on Drive Time Sports. All right, that's going to do it for the show. Stay tuned. Game 7 next.